Well, hi ladies, it's Angie Spiteri from Generating Time, and I'm here today to set about answering your questions. And there were a couple of themes in all the questions, particularly around cancellations and report writing. So I will get to those, but I'm just going to do these questions in no particular order, just in the order that they're in the pile, if that's okay with you. So the first one here is, how do you reduce the amount of time it takes to write reports? Okay, so we've landed on one of the common questions, and this comes up a few times. So the best way for me to suggest to you is this. Start your day off writing reports. Get it over and done with, first of all, so that you don't spend the rest of the day reminding yourself that you need to write reports. But you don't allow yourself to think that you've got all day to write them. So say every day I start with an hour of report writing. And that's what you do. You don't look at emails, you don't answer phone calls, nothing. You spend 1 hour writing a report and you do that every single day. Now if that's not enough time, then increase it to an hour and a half. But if you get into the habit of writing reports, so you don't have to finish them, but you do need to progress those reports as far as you can in that hour, at least you know that you've spent an hour to 90 minutes writing reports every single day and you're moving forward rather than having them pile up on your desk. So make it a habit. Start your day off with your worst thing, which for many of you is report writing, and set a time limit. An hour, 60 minutes to 90 minutes. And do that every day and then do everything else. Okay, the next question on this sheet of paper is, again, one of the questions that has come up often, which is, how do you prevent people from failing to attend? And I'm going to give this one answer. Rather than dealing with it after the event, I would recommend that you deal with it before the event. Nowadays there are heaps of systems that you can use to SMS people. A lot of people check their mobiles all the time or frequently, so they won't miss an SMS message, whereas they might miss a phone call or an email. So what I suggest is before you get a hold of one of these automatic systems, and before the appointment, you SMS these people and let them know they have an appointment coming, but they need to say yes, they will be at that appointment via a reply SMS so that you have it confirmed, and that if they don't confirm within 24 hours, they may lose their appointment. So I hope that helps. Okay, next question on this one here is, I don't like throwing things away, so I end up with lots of clutter. Any suggestions? What my suggestion is, you might want to set up a halfway box. So this is where you put all that clutter, all that stuff you don't quite want to throw away, but you don't know if you're going to use it, into a box. And then 6 months from now or a year from now, I hope not a year, I hope maybe 3 to 6 months, you have a look in that box, or you just close that box up if you haven't touched it and throw it out. Because if you haven't touched it in that amount of time, it's very unlikely that you're going to touch it or that it will be up to date when you actually need to use it. So I hope those answers help that particular person that asked those questions. You know who you are. The second question is almost, the next sheet of paper is almost along the same lines. How do you avoid clutter building up in your office? Again, have a box or some sort of tray to catch them all. At least they're all in one place. And weekly you might want to go through that tray. But if at least you've got them in a basket or something, it just looks a lot neater. How do I reduce and eliminate cancellations without charging? We've gone through that one. I would suggest being proactive rather than reactive. Which is using SMS or getting a virtual assistant. You know, there are many secretarial services where you don't actually have to employ someone if you haven't got the time to make phone calls, but you can get that person to, you know, for a couple of hours to ring your appointments just to confirm. And that might be something else you might want to investigate. Alright, now this person gave me some tricky ones. How do I get parents to complete homework? What I suggest is what our karate place does for us. Rather than motivate the parents, they motivate the students to want to have that homework done. So they motivate them by doing things like dojo dollars. So they do dojo dollars where you can collect a certain amount of dojo dollars and you can buy something from the book. And it's just like a box. It's just like a lucky dip. There's nothing of real value in that box. But the kids love it, you know. They feel that it's all a treat for them. But that it might help the parents to complete homework. The other thing that they do is do like a star challenge where every month they get their child to commit to doing an activity and the parent has to sign off on that activity. And again, once they get 3 stars, they get in Wuling Karate, they get a stripe on their kimono, but you can think of something that's probably better for you. Maybe a book or, you know, just a little book. It doesn't have to be expensive, but at least it encourages everybody to do the right thing. And you can factor the cost of all these things into your fees. Because in the end, it doesn't really come out so much per person. Next question. How do I get parents to value therapy? With this one, it's not quite a time management question. If it's time management, it probably is. How do I get people to prioritize the activities they need to do for speech therapy? What I suggest is you do maybe a series of coaching questions on the first or second session of the therapy, and you get the parents to actually fill this out or even make a montage. Is that the right word? No, it's not the right word. You know, like a board with a whole heap of inspiring pictures on it, which communicates to them what the value of this speech therapy means. You know, so it could have a picture on there of their child at university, a report card that's all A's, a happy child with lots of friends, you know, just all these sort of images that speak emotionally to the parent as to the value of doing the exercises. The questions that I'm thinking about that you could ask the parents are things like, you know, what will you get by doing these sort of activities? Will you achieve for you? What will you achieve for your child? Your child's future. And if you don't do these activities, what will you get? So as humans, we like to move away from pain and we like to move towards pleasure. So it's basically bringing those thoughts and emotions to the forefront so that when they procrastinate, you know, those sort of thoughts come to mind. If they do not do the activities, if they don't do the activities, what that will lead to, what the consequences are if they don't do the activities. So I hope that's helped. Okay, I've already talked about cancellations and this person asks about that again. Next question is, most of our work come from referrals, word of mouth, cross referrals, but you'd like more. How do I increase referrals using word of mouth? My best solution for that is to wow them. You know, wow your clients. You might give them extra info halfway through. You might test them. You might implement some of the things that I've already said on this particular audio. You might do competitions where if they refer a friend, they go into a draw for a competition. You know, work out how much it costs you to buy a client, basically. You might give gifts for referrals or several referrals. You might have a look at who's given you referrals in the past. And call those people and just ask them, you know, is there anybody that they can refer your way? You may ask every single appointment or start off the actual relationship with the client by letting them know that you build your business on referrals and you would appreciate any referrals they can give to you. And then maybe 3 or 4 in, you might ask them again. How can I get my staff to be more independent? The most easiest way is to become inaccessible. When we're not there, things start getting resolved on their own. The other alternative is to keep a log of the type of questions you're actually getting asked and to then address those issues. So, for example, it might be that, you know, you need to give them a budget to be able to, or some parameters around decision making because they're waiting for you to make certain decisions. You need to maybe color code your Outlook appointments so that they know when they can move an appointment and when they can, when an appointment has to stay at a particular time. So have a look at the sorts of questions, keep a log of them, and then address those questions, put in something in place to address those questions. And of course, this person has report writing, and I've given you some solutions around that. Next one. How can I avoid being one of those parents who say, in a minute, darling, without being constantly interrupted? The only way I know to do that is to get myself out of the house when I'm doing work. So if I really don't want to be interrupted, I get myself out of the house. I actually, some days I only work or get my child out of the house. So a couple of days my daughter goes to my mother-in-law's to be looked after. I only work normally during her, when she goes for a sleep during the day, when she's at home. So she's either asleep or I'm out of the house doing work. If I have to work a full day and everybody's at home for one reason or another, I tend to go to the library. So I hope that helps. Last questions. Accessing both paper and electronic files. Is it worth scanning all resources to save looking various places? Yeah, I think so. It's better to just look in one place. And if you have a scanner to scan all your information and you can rename them easily, file them properly, I think that's the best way to do it, once and once only, so you can easily find them. However, you may also want to have a think about, before you make this investment of time, if it's a big investment of time, how often do you go back to that papers, those papers? Is it often? Is it a certain type of papers or a certain type of area? If it is, you know, just give yourself the least amount of work is what I'm saying. If you don't go back too much, maybe just cut your losses and from this point forward, rather than scanning everything you've got, only scan the ones from this day forward. If it's a particular area, just scan the documents in relation to those areas. So have a think before you go forward. Next one is there a more effective way than writing it on my hand? Yes, this person gave me some curly questions, by the way. Look, if you don't forget it and it's written on your hand, I think why not? But it's not the most attractive, is it? I would recommend maybe putting it on your phone with an alarm to it. So, you know, you've got it somewhere that's going to remind you at the time that you need to be reminded. As an alternative. Of course, you can always use your taskbar and your calendar. Remember, there's a difference between the two of these that most people don't realize. And they are very effective to use. Last question I've got here is, what is a good number of friends to have when you have a family and an interest like music that takes up time too? I'm probably not the best person to ask. I'm a very social person, and we have lots of people. I tend to kill two birds with one stone. So, for example, we may have lots of friends, and some of those friends are connected. So we tend to catch up with a group of people at once rather than, you know, just one couple at a time. We also, if we've got something on, like if you enjoy music, you have an interest of music and you go to musical events, I'd invite those friends along. I'm sure you're doing all of this. I'm not telling you anything that's rocket science. But yeah, I just try to kill two birds with one stone. And if we're doing something to maybe invite some other people with us, or if we're meeting people, that are friends with us. Some other people, we invite all of them along or have them all over. So not about a number of friends, but more about how to manage seeing people more effectively. I hope this audio is of use, ladies. Yesterday was the cut-off point for the 24th of February, the workshop on the 24th of February. If you are not able to make that workshop because you have another meeting on, which is, I think, what Rosie was saying to me, there are other workshops through the year. They're every 2 months, and I will keep you informed of these via the newsletter. I hope you've enjoyed this audio. I hope you enjoyed the talk we did the other day. Any feedback is wonderful. So if you want to drop me a line, always do. And I wish you all the best in the future. This is Angie Spiteri from Generating Time. Take care.